I came to Alaska in 79. I've been there almost 35 years now. I started off in Southeast Alaska. Southeast Alaska is a water paradise. There's more water in Southeast Alaska, perhaps, than most parts of the world. The areas that rain, annual rainfall in Ketchikan alone is over 13 feet. So it's extremely significant. There's a couple of glaciers in the Southeast, actually there's quite a few, and they're all full of water, and it's frozen.
We are at the top of the mountain, and so there's no place to go upstream to get clean water. If our water becomes polluted, then everyone downstream, all the way to the lowest levels of elevation, are going to have polluted water.
Because as sea level rises, we have more saltwater intrusion into our domestic wells.
Our bodies are made up of 70% water. So if you go somewhere and you spend a week there, you are now 70% of the water in that place.
Since 2011, there's been a greater movement to have domestic energy reserves and move away from international energy. So that has really sparked an exploration of natural gas wells and oil wells in this country. And in order to extract those resources, we need to inject chemicals into deep wells to break rock so that the natural gas and oil can be extracted. And those chemical slurries have a long-lasting impact on water. And given that groundwater is a significant portion of our freshwater resources in this country, that's concerning.
The sort of delicacy of the fringe between water and the land.
And I think that so often we think about things like water or trees or undeveloped places as having no intrinsic monetary value unless they're harvested, so to speak. And I think that when you look at
where that water sort of originates in the Blue Hills to where it flows into the Neponset River is about 7 miles. So it's a very small stream and easy for students to wrap their heads around whatever water issues might be associated with that. So what we've been trying to do is measure the water quality from the beginning, where we hypothesize that it should be kind of the cleanest, where it comes out of the Blue Hills, to what it looks like when that same water is going into the Neponset River. And there's additions of water all along the way. In almost all of those additions,
they have a stream that runs right through their laboratory, and they can tell what fertilizer has been put
in runoff. So that's either running water that's running off, rainwater that's running off over people's yards, or groundwater that's gone through their yards, or stormwater that has fallen on pavement, run into one of those storm drains on the street, and then that water discharged
in moving to Pennsylvania was that water very often is seen as a tool of industry. It's a conveyance. It's a way to move goods from point A to point B and then on to market. It's something that people take for granted. People don't expect to be able to swim in rivers necessarily. People don't expect to be able to fish or to eat fish out of rivers. It's a tool.
What's actually in the DNA is information about how to make the proteins in our body. The proteins do all the work. They're the machines that do everything from digesting our food to being the muscle fibers that contract and expand to make us be able to move around, to firing the electrical signals to keep our heart beating, to detecting the light that allows our eyes to see. Proteins are the little machines that do all that work. And the shape of the proteins is encoded in the DNA. what's encoded in the DNA is actually two different kinds of molecules. Molecules that like water and molecules that dislike water. And by altering the sequence of words, so DNA gets made into a protein. Protein can be thought of as a string of pearls. There's two kinds of pearls on that string, water-loving pearls and water-hating pearls. And it's the distribution of those pearls along the chain that determine whether the protein coils up into a coil that can expand and contract, turns into a small bundle that can eat your food, or turns into something that can see light and change shape when that happens. So the genetic code codes for the preference of the beads on this pearl necklace for they like or dislike water. And water literally drives them into their final shape to make the machines that make our bodies do everything it does. So water's the literal driving force that shapes us and makes us capable of doing everything that we do. And that's true for every living thing on the planet.